Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing to see a mother and daughter singing together. What a blessing to see young people being involved. Just what a blessing to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Take your Bibles. You should already know where to go this morning, to Galatians chapter 5. I said a while ago 23 and 24. It was actually 22 and 23, but I was planning to go to 24 myself in the message, so I just gave the last two verses. But again, I appreciate Levi. He didn't mind that at all, could you tell? He likes that. And I'm glad he likes it, amen? I hope he still likes it when he gets to be a teenager. Still likes it when he gets to be an adult. What a blessing it'd be. Yeah, he quoted that to me the other day, and I was just really taken back. I mean, that's a lot to remember. I told Susan this morning, I said, you know, if I started naming the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not even sure I could get them all in order. So I started, and I'm not sure how I did. I might have got one or two out of order, but I got them. But I was impressed. And not only did he learn that, but all the kids learned that last Wednesday night. And I tell you, that's a blessing to see these kids learning the Word of God. And the teenagers have been helping them. And I appreciate that. And that's been a blessing. And not only are they just helping them, but they're learning the verse too. And so again, that's what inspired the message. I began thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to remind you before I begin, the fruit of the Spirit is not plural, it's singular. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. Someone would seem to think that that's what it meant when you go to reading the list. But if you notice in your Bible, it said the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we come to that this morning, I want to think about the fact that our church is only going to be what it is by what the members of the church are within themselves. If we're growing spiritually in the Lord, the church will be growing spiritually in the Lord. I believe we'll be growing numerically in the Lord. I believe we'll be seeing people saved as a result of our allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives. I want you this morning to think with me for a moment about our church in a little bit different way, just to try to get your thinking going. Would you suppose this morning that instead of a church congregation before me, that basically I have an orchard in front of me? Some say, what kind of orchard? Well, it really makes no difference, just an orchard that produces fruit. It could be apples, it could be oranges, and I like oranges, so we'd just say it'd be an orange grove. We'd call them a grove instead of an orchard. But what's dependent upon that orchard being successful is how successful the individual trees in that orchard do in producing. Likewise, what I'd like for you to do is to think of yourself as a tree. Now, I'm not being rude when I say that. And that would be, you say, well, you know, we don't need to be a tree. But I want you to think, if you were a tree, what good is a tree if it's not producing? If it's not giving out? In fact, we read in the Word of God, there's times when the fruit was not bore out. And because of that, it was cut down and cast into the fire. It was of no value. And so likewise today, try to get a mental picture of this. The church being an orchard, but us being the trees in the orchard. And if you're a tree in the orchard, don't answer me and don't speak out. But I wonder this morning, could you say, what kind of fruit am I producing in my life? Am I producing this fruit of the Spirit? Now understand, the Spirit of God is what produces the fruit in us. But God has allowed us, as we serve Him, that the way of our church, I believe, when we allow the Spirit to work, we will become a God-honoring church. I believe we will produce the type of fruit that would be pleasing to God. So again, Levi quoted it a while ago, but let me read it again in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the Spirit does the producing, but the Spirit cannot produce if our lives are not in touch and in tune with the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A person gets the Spirit of God in their life the moment they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. When they pray and ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart, Jesus comes into their heart through the person of the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in them for all eternity and to understand that as they live, the Spirit of God is available to them in order to produce fruit. You take a man that has an orchard and he goes out in that orchard and he's got trees, but he plants the trees. And then he just forgets about it. He don't worry about fertilizing. He don't worry about watering. And if they don't get the water and the fertilizer, they're not going to produce. And friend, as a child of God, if we're not getting what the Spirit of God has for us, we're not going to produce. And so here we find in the Scripture the very things that is given here. And we need to understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God in order that the power of God might work in and through us to produce these things that are set forth before us. Now, there's 9 of them, and I don't want you to get nervous. I'm not going to keep you here too long today. We'll run through them fairly quickly. But I want you to see we cannot minimize the importance of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, today, we don't need to be worried about using the word, the Spirit of God, because every one of us is a child of God. We will be what we are by how much we allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us and to produce the fruit that God would have in our life. I hear people say sometimes, they say the fact, I can't do that. But you know, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. How does he strengthen us? Through the Holy Spirit of God. Through the years, I've seen churches that I believe had members that were filled with the Spirit of God, and they were producing spiritual fruit. And as a result, that church has begun to flourish. People are being saved. People are excited about serving God, and they can't wait to get to the house of God, and it becomes their priority. But then on the other hand, I've seen churches, now they believe in the fruit of the Spirit, but they don't sense it in their lives, because you cannot have the Holy Spirit working in your life if you're not allowing yourself to be a part of what God has according to His Word. In praying, perhaps in reading the Word of God, in doing the things that God would have us to do. The Bible said when we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I want to turn our attention this morning, after we've got past the orchard and the trees, but I just want you to get a mental picture. I want you to look at what I believe will cause a church to flourish. Now, friend, if you're here this morning, it ought to excite your bones and your soul to understand that God wants His church to flourish. How does it flourish? It flourishes when people that are saved, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, begin to allow God to work in and through them, and these things that I'm about to go through will become evident in our life. And friend, it's not us. Listen, somebody said, man, preacher, we need to get busy and we need to build this church. I agree with you to a certain extent, but I'm going to tell you, we cannot build this church apart from bearing the Holy Spirit's fruit that He's commanded us to bear. And so today we're going to look at those things, and I hope they'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. The first one we notice, and we've covered this maybe just a couple of weeks ago on Valentine's Day, we talked about love. But first of all, there must be faithful love. Thank the Lord today. The Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first thing is love. We're to love one another. We're to love our neighbor. We're to love the lost. We're to love all those today that God has created because they are His creation. And friend, today we ought not to get to the point in our lives to where we would hate anybody or anybody where we'd seek revenge against somebody. Love is required in our life. When something is required, it means something that is necessary. It's something that is insisted on. In fact, if I have, and I'll share some verses with you, but in John 13:34-35, He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Commandment. He said, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Friend, I'm going to tell you, a person in tune with the Holy Spirit of God will have a sense of love in their lives, whether it be helping someone, encouraging, praying for someone, or whatever it might be. We ought to have a desire today to love all those around about us, no matter where they are. The fruit of love is present. When the fruit of love is present in our church, it flourishes. I believe today we got love in church, and I sense that, and I feel that, and I'm grateful for it. And I believe when people walk in the door, they feel loved, and they ought to feel loved. And we need to make sure they feel loved. I don't care who they are. It makes a difference where they come from. The fact of it is, if they enter into this building, I want you to know you're welcome here, and God wants to work in and through your life if you'll let Him and obey Him. The early Latin writer Tertullian of Carthage, he declared one thing that converted him to Christianity. He said it was not the arguments that everybody gave him, that they presented to him, but he said, but it was by something they demonstrated that I didn't have. The thing that converted me to Christianity was the way they loved each other. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, if you want to win people to Jesus, love them to Christ. Let them know, listen, it makes no difference who you are, what your background is, where you come from. Jesus died on the cross for you. I have become a child of God. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And as a result of that, love ought to exemplify through my life and through my being that they can see nothing but God's love all over me in all that I do. Love must be real. I've seen put on love. I've seen people that sometimes they appear to have love. And by the way, I'm not being ugly, but sometimes you can really sense if the love is put on. It seems to be more for a show. But he said, let love be without, in Romans 12:9, he said, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation speaks of hypocrisy. It means to conceal intentions or feelings by pretense. When Warren Wiersbe said it this way, love is the circulatory system of the spiritual body. I like that. Which enables all members to function in a healthy, harmonious way. This must be an honest love, not a hypocritical love. Must be humble and not proud. And preferring one another means treating others as more important than ourselves. And I would say today, that's a great definition. But I like the first part. Love is the circulatory system of the spiritual body. When this blood in our body does not function the way that it needs to, whether it be going through the heart or into our circulatory system through our life. And by the way, all of us, when you get older, you have physical problems. If you don't know that, you will soon. However, I'm grateful for all those years I really didn't seem to have any problems. And we understand that. And in the life of the child of God, friend, we should never wear out with our love for God. Physically, we may, but spiritually, listen, I believe sometimes with some folks, the older they get, the sweeter they get. And the sweeter they get, the more love that they exemplify in their life. 1 Peter 1:22 calls us to real love. He said, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. But listen to this. Fervently. Love one another. Not only just love them, but love them fervently. Now, I'm not talking about in any kind of way that would draw attention or whatever, but a way despite your disagreements, despite your differences, be able to love each other honestly and friendly and fervently. And that's real love. The first thing that real love does is it shows you have a relationship with God. The Bible said in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Friend, I'm telling you today, you ought to say, and by the way, we're not to judge. I don't judge people's salvation. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But I'm going to tell you something. It's sometimes very easy to determine who is saved simply by the love they demonstrate in their life toward other people and the needs they have. He shows patience in our relationship. The Bible said in Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. I tell you, when you stop and think about that, what a wonderful thought it is. God is displeased when we don't love as we should. Proverbs 6:19, the Lord talks of one of the six things that the Bible said the Lord hates. He said he hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Friend, I'm telling you, the house of God ought to be a peaceful place to come and worship God, to love the members of the people, if you want to call it the orchard, to love the trees that are in the orchard, and we ought to all be producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love in our life, that people would see Christ. The fruit of a faithful love causes the church to flourish, and I believe that's helped our church through the years, by the way. I don't always point and say this is what we totally we're not doing because I believe in some ways we are. But I'm going to tell you, you let people see genuine love and care. And I say many of the people that probably have come to this church through the years have come because they felt like somebody loved them and cared about them. I must move quickly. Second of all, he talks about joy. I don't know about you, I like being happy, don't you? I just enjoy being happy. And the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, how do I get joy? I don't get joy by sitting home and not going to church. I don't get joy by not reading my Bible. I don't get joy by not praying. But I get joy when I do those things. And God, the Holy Spirit, is able to work in and through me to help me and encourage me along the way. Joy ought to sweeten us. I tell you, when we get saved as a Christian, we ought not to be bitter and hateful and have a sad look on our face. We ought to be a happy church. Somebody said, he put a song in my heart and a smile on my face. And even sometimes you might not even can sing, but he still put a song in your heart. And he gave you the smile upon your face. Man, today joy sweetens us. And how does that happen? Again, please, I want to relate back. This is the fruit of the Spirit. How do we get that? By being filled with the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit. By walking in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The Scripture says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It'll bring joy every time. Joy strengthens us. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I tell you today, I like the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It says, I am weak, but He is strong. And I'm glad to know today that even in my weakness, if I'm tuned in and in touch with the Holy Spirit of God, I'll serve God cheerfully. I'll serve God thankfully. My mind and body will have joy. Today, you could ask most of us older people, how you doing? And we could spend an hour telling you how we're really doing. But I'm going to tell you, if we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, even in spite of our illnesses and problems, there's a joy that comes forth in our life that people may see Christ. Let me just give you a few. I got some. I'm not going to read all of them. But Psalm 126, verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. I tell you, when people enter in this church and we're happy and we're singing and we're sharing the love of God and we have joy in our heart and we want to make sure that we speak to everybody and that everybody knows that, we hadn't just lost our best friend. We found our best friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll make a difference. And they'll say, the Lord has done great things for them. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. I tell you today, if you're saved, you ought to be joyful in the Lord. I tell you, the Bible said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with thanksgiving. And that comes by being in touch and in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of God called away Philip. That eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he experienced the joy of salvation. There's no greater feeling in the world than to have your burdens lifted, the Spirit indwelling, and heaven as your home. I tell you today, boy, that ought to make us shout today and just praise God. The fact that we're saved today and Jesus gave it to us and we're depending upon the Spirit of God to produce these things in us as we live for Him and serve Him. In Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's because of what we now have in Christ that we can have joy. I'll be honest with you, without Christ, there's not much joy to be had. I tell you today, I'm resting in the future of what God has promised me and what God will give me quickly. Fruit that causes the church to flourish, faithful love, full of joy, but a fervent spirit. The Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So we see a fervent peace in our life. The church should be a place of serenity. The church ought not be a place of conflict. It ought not to be a place of gossip. It ought to be a place of backbiting. It ought to be a place of love. It ought to be a place of joy. It ought to be a place of the peace that passes all understanding.
to come to the house of God, and it ought to be refreshing. I've had people come on occasion. I've had people that have come to our church on occasion and said this. And then again, it's not saying this about me, but just saying it about the church. But they said, boy, we came in your church today. It was like, listen to me. I've had this several times. It was like a breath of fresh air. Friend, I'm telling you today, what we need is the breath of the Holy Spirit of God upon us in order that people would see that, and we leave here. We will not leave thinking that we've been to just an ordinary service, but we've been to the house of God. We've heard the Word of God. We've seen His love, His joy, and His peace demonstrated in the people there. And what a blessing it is. The world's full of turmoil, fighting, hatred, killings, resentment. There's one place where peace ought to reign. This ought to be a sanctuary. It ought to be a city of refuge, if you will. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. If a man killed somebody accidentally, if he could get to the city of refuge, nobody could touch him as long as he was there. And friend, I tell you, when we come to the house of God, it ought to be that we're walking in the Spirit to where nothing can touch us. We're where God can work in and through our lives. The bond holds people together like a string or a twine. Then the church should be a place of stability. Excuse me. Our world is filled with unrest, uneasiness, chaos, confusion. But this shouldn't be the way of the church. The saddest thing that I've ever heard, I've heard of this, where churches had to call the law to come and to break up a fight or to solve a problem in the church. Thank the Lord, in almost 34 years, we've never done that. And I pray by the grace of God it'll never happen, because it'll destroy our church. Just the fact that we, within ourselves, needed the law enforcement agents that have a whole lot more to do than to break up church fights. But yet today we ought to be a church that is a place of peace, because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. And so today, He's a God of peace, and the saints that are there. Fruit causes us to flourish. Faithful love, full of joy, fervently peace. And then fourthly, forbearing, long-suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I think it says what it means without having to take a lot of explanation. But Colossians 3:13 said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. The word forbearing used here is translated from the Greek word that means to put up with, to bear with, or to endure. In other words, you may not like it, but He tells us that we're just to put up with it. We're to bear with it. We're to endure it. He says to be patient with others, bearing long with them. You ever heard somebody say, my patience is wearing thin? I'm afraid a lot of us have thin patience. But you know, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Listen, we allow ourselves sometimes to tell on ourselves by what we do or don't do. But there's the demands of forbearing. When we're forbearing, it means we're putting up with people that are irritating. We're putting up with circumstances we really don't like. And by the way, we're doing it without retaliating. All people said, you just wait, I'll get you. I'll get the last say. I think I hit a spot here somewhere. Just seems to be. But it means long suffering is exactly what it means. Patience strengthens the spirit. It sweetens the temper. It subdues the pride. And it bridles the tongue. When we're in touch with the Spirit, that's the fruit of the Spirit working. By the way, the Bible said of Jesus that He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A fruit that causes the church to flourish, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I tell you today, if we would practice patience, I believe the church would flourish. How often do we get mad because somebody said something that just kind of rubbed us the wrong way? And we immediately respond. According to the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit says that we're to be long-suffering in what we do, in how we deal with it. Fifthly, he talks about forgiving gentleness. He said, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Our forgiveness must be genuine. What's hurting our churches today is lack of real forgiveness. Instead of being gentle and forgiving others, we oftentimes are rude and unforgiving. A church that is flourishing will not be a church where members practice, or it will be a church where members practice gentleness and forgiveness with one another. No grudges will be held. No records will be kept. No wrongs will be kept, because love will be the guiding force. Love dictates our action. Joy puts us in the right attitude, in the right spirit, in the right mood. Peace gives us a calmness. The long-suffering helps us put up with things that we normally would not put up with. But yet, in the spirit of the Holy Spirit, we're loving and kind in all that we do. Someone said, Christian love bears and forbears, gives and forgives. Our focus today ought to be motivated by grace. Our gentleness ought to be genuine, but it ought to be by grace. You know, kindness. I know we all sometimes, we get a little short. Sometimes we present ourselves in ways, and there's been many times that I've had to apologize because I spoke too quickly. But friend, the world today needs to see something of gentleness and help. And I surely don't say this. It's just right here on my mind. And again, it's nothing with me, but it encourages me when I hear this. But Brother Ms. Hicks, they went to Hardy's this week, and there was a lady there, and they appreciate them doing it. They gave her a track, and she said, oh, that's where Brother Gary preaches, right? And they said, yes. And they said, well, he prayed with me one time. She used to work at Whataburger. She went to Hardy's. I'm trying to get her back. But we saw her in there the other week, didn't know where she'd went to. And I said, oh, it's so good to see you again. Invited her to church a number of times, but you know what? I remember that day, we was there, and she was about in tears, and she was going through, single mom, three kids, and I said, let me just pray with you. Friend, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I believe with all my heart the Spirit of God led me that way, and I don't always do that, okay? It's not always, there's probably times I've missed out, so please, this is not trying to promote me, but it sure encouraged my heart today that somebody remembered that there was a day that I prayed with them about a need in their life. We must respond with gentleness, sometimes impatient and kind. You know, sometimes, and again, this is kind of a running joke with us now about Whataburger. Y'all know I go there often. And sometimes they're slow. But I tell you, I've learned to be long-suffering, because I want them to see a gentleness in me that would reach them rather than turn them away from what God has for them. Quickly, number six, a focused goodness. But the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness now is not perfection. No one is perfect. But all of us can be good, right? Goodness speaks of us not seeking to hurt anyone, but to do all the good we can. I really, in recent days, it's just been a burden to me. I tell you, I really believe in this thing about helping other people, doing things for other people, just being involved in that, the blessings that comes by just showing goodness in your life. It's truth and beauty in human behavior. It's showing compassion, having concern. And by the way, isn't that an example of Jesus Christ? Isn't that what he did everywhere he went? Friend, in spite of where he was and in spite of the persecution, he endured. He was loving. He was kind. He was joyful. He showed goodness everywhere he went. The people that he touched, it made a difference in their life. The Bible said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Friend, I want you to know today, when we see the multitudes, we ought not just see people, but we ought to see people that need Jesus, just like we got him when we got saved. And I tell you, we ought to respond to them, even if they cut you off in traffic, even if they do things. Somebody the other day was telling me, well, I won't say who, but there was somebody the other day that told me, and I've done this too, cut somebody off, got in front of them, didn't mean to. When they realize what they've done, just say, hey, I want to pay for that guy who's behind me back there. Or maybe somebody back there that you know. Just, hey, let me take care of their bill today. Listen, goodness, and especially the lost people, especially people that are out of church, they need to see God's people that care enough to do some goodness along the way. Goodness is pleasing. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I want God to be pleased with me, don't you? I want to hear him one day say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want one day to be pleasing him in all that I do. Quickly, and I must move. We ought to have a forceful faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Our faith must be strong. The word full or done with force, vigorous, effective. The Bible said in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, friend, if that mountain is moved, it's the power of God that moved it, and you ought to have faith enough to believe that God can do anything that he said he would do. This great power is even a little faith when God is with us. Just a little faith, God will move mountains. We should examine our faith. We should make sure that we're trusting in our own abilities, that we're producing the results in God's life. 1 Corinthians 15:58, our faith must be steadfast. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sunday school teacher, just be faithful. If you have one or none, just be faithful. If you have 15 or 20, just be faithful. Just trust God that he'll meet the need. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and your labor is not in vain. God knows your heart. He knows your heart in whatever you do and however you put forth. He knows what you're doing and what you're going through. He said in 1 Peter 5:9, tells us of speaking of Satan, whom resist, steadfast in your faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The word steadfast used here, two verses, means immovable, settled, solid, stable, and sure. We should walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. I'm going to tell you something today. The fruit of the Spirit will give us faith enough to believe that God will never fail us, nor forsake us, nor leave us. He's always with us, even unto the end. Our faith has got to be important. It's got to be steadfast. It's got to be strong. And if we have the faith, we ought to be able to do anything. But wait a minute. If we're not getting the fertilizer, and we're not getting the water, and where does that come from? It comes from right here, the Word of God, that God speaks to our heart. And if we don't, somebody said, man, I don't know. I just have trouble with some of those things. I'm not making judgment. I'm not passing judgment. But it may be because you hadn't spent enough time with the Holy Spirit of God for it to show forth the works in your life. Number 8, friendly meekness. But the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Meekness, by the way, is not weakness. Meekness is not allowing others to run over you or control you or silence you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, I am meek and lowly in heart. If that's something Jesus was, that's something I want to be. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Moses, the Bible says, was very meek. Yet you can't accuse either one of them of being weak. The meek Christian does not know or throw his weight around or assert himself. Just as wisdom is the right use of knowledge, so meekness is the right use of authority and power. What meekness is, according to the dictionary, here's what it is. It's having a patient, gentle disposition. The word translated meekness comes from a Greek word, humility. Someone has defined it this way. Meekness is power under control. That's good. Do you hear it? Meekness is power under control. When we are weak, When we're meek, we're easy to get along with. We don't demand our way. We don't demand our rights. We're considerate of others. We humbly submit ourselves to the will and the word of God. Fruit that causes the church to flourish is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, in order that we might humble ourselves in the sight of God. And then lastly this morning, the last word there is there is temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is